Bessie Hearts or whatever that other network is. I've actually been on one of those during the weekend when they link up the entire system coast to coast. 70 centimeters around here, you're right, there's less going on. Now, let's see, the Long Island, New York City area, there was actually more activity on 70 centimeters because that's flat land, and I think also it carries better in, like, the urban canyon type of environment. It, like, bounces off skyscrapers and things like that. UHF propagation is a little better near in and around cities and towns. Still, there was a lot of disused repeaters. So, you know, once in a while, I'll try to do that. I'll go trolling through the various frequencies and try to find one that I thought was inactive. And, you know, much to my surprise, a lot of times they're not.
Well, see, when it comes to the one system over here, in Pickens and Oconee County, around 8 p.m. in the evening is when those are used the most, because they have all those linked up for a net that covers about the whole thing over here, and most of those repeaters are UHF. And of course, and that's called the one system, wide area repeater network system. And of course, the way you're talking, you're already familiar with the heart system already that goes throughout the coast, the UHF repeaters.
Frequency pairs, let's see. If the 2 meter band is, let's say, 4 megahertz wide, and there's a 25 kilohertz channel spacing, yeah, okay, so there's like 200 frequencies. Okay, there's 100 repeater pairs on 2 meters, maybe less, maybe 80 or 90. Yeah, and there's a whole lot more on 70 centimeters. So, yeah, you're right, maybe there aren't that many. And in some of the repeaters around here, well, maybe not in this area, you know, I even see a couple that have odd splits. Like there's a 1 megahertz split on one of them, like near Virginia Beach or something, because they didn't have another frequency to pair it with, you know, 600 kilohertz away. So there's one or two with a strange split. And that was true also in the Long Island area. There were a couple that it's got a non-standard split because there was no, +5 or -5 or +/-600 or whatever it is for 2 meters or 70 centimeters. There just wasn't another one.
Well, see, I've been hearing others say for the past few years around here that, and you come from a metro-type situation, that in some of these places, they're using a lot of 900 megahertz repeaters. Now, there's two over here, but when it comes to range and distance compared to, say, here on VHF, there's one sitting right up here on Caesar's Head, up here right now. Not as high as this 2 meter machine is that we're on now, but it's up there, maybe 100 foot up in the air up there. And I rarely ever hear it here. But I've heard some say that in places like Atlanta and places like that, they're using a lot of 900 in places like that.
Here, there's a handful on 900, I guess, would be 33 centimeters. There's one on 23 centimeters somewhere near Greenville. I have one piece of equipment that'll actually do 23 centimeters. It's a handheld. There was an eBay sale for two ICOM handhelds. You know, I have an ICOM AG 12, you know, 1200. One of them was 2 meter, and another one was 23 centimeter, which is, I think there's one 23 centimeter repeater in the entire state. And you don't have the range because, let's see, correct me if I'm wrong. As you go up in frequency, impedance gets higher, so you need the same amount. Inductive impedance increases with frequency, so as you go up in frequency, you need more drive to produce the same output at the antenna. So, yeah, that other radio I have has maybe 1 or 2 watts at the antenna. I only got it because it was, you know, an eBay thing. You had to buy both of them.
LZI. Up in there, like 900 and all up there. There's 2 900s that I know of that. And I was telling you about up on Caesar's head, and there's one on Glass Mountain here outside of Pickens. But I rarely ever hear them here, either one of them. Every now and then, that on Caesar's head, when the conditions are right, I might hear it, but not for very long, and I got to have a receiver with me, portable scanner with me when I'm out there picking to hear the 900 that's out there. So that's the only 900s I'm even familiar with, but they say that being UHF and then these metro areas, they work better, you know. It seems logical from what I experienced with 440 here compared to this here VHF on 2 meters, it's probably true.
Cracks around and over obstacles, you know, trees, hills, valleys, that sort of thing. So it works well out here where you have, you know, terrain, high and low terrain. UHF is more line of sight. It gets blocked by hills, that sort of thing. So, and as I said, you need, as you go up in frequency, you need more drive for the same output of the antenna. I've noticed that in television stations, too. Like around here, Channel 7, or WLOS is 13, whatever the hell 7 is, they're actually in near the Asheville area, or Hendersonville area. They're only radiating 25,000 or 30,000 watts, whereas WIFF, on top of the other mountain, or one of the mountains, is something like 300,000 watts, because I think they're actually on channel 30 or something. But, you know, more drive, because at those frequencies, hills and valleys and things affect UHF propagation. So, yeah, I've run across this with TV signals.
J-I-4-L-Z-I. Well, since everything went digital, it's hard for me to keep up about what frequency they're on here, there, and there anymore since everything went digital. Well, on analog, it was easier for me to understand, but like we told some of these people over here to pick in ZOC in the past, before you think about changing over to this digital stuff, you better know what you're doing before you leave this analog, because with this digital, you either hear it or you don't hear it. And you get back behind some of these hills and valleys, back off up in here toward this horse pasture in Pickens County, and you're going to be in a worse hole than you are with analog.
Tolerance of low signal to noise. It's not especially tolerant of multipath distortion, which in the big city you've got nothing but. Well, I'm talking about television now. I imagine for the other radio services, pretty much the same way. You know, it gives you a better quality signal when it works. Well, you've seen what I've seen, like with digital television signals. You either have a good picture or you have pretty much nothing. There's very little in between. You know, I almost wish that I had a snowy degraded picture, analog picture, but at least there'd be something. I think a lot of the stations had to up their power requirements shortly thereafter, probably for that reason.
Reynolds, yeah, but when you're talking about the first responder business, so that could cost someone their life. Get it right and keep it right to start with.
Simply know why, unless they're getting squeezed that badly for Spectrum. You know, I could multiplex digital channels so that one channel might be carrying, you know, more than one conversation. Or also possibly it's carrying conversation plus data. You know, for example, the EMS channel might be carrying voice plus, you know, who knows what, EKG signals or something like that. Or, you know, the police have, I don't even know if the police use voice much anymore. There'll be a voice channel and the data terminal channel. So I think they're doing it to maximize channel space. Are they that hard up for channel space? I don't know. They've already taken over additional parts of the spectrum. 600, 700 megahertz. They took from the television band. 800 megahertz we lost long ago. The upper part of that used to be television. So, yeah, I'm not really sure why they're doing what they're doing.
Well, see, as of right now, to my knowledge now, right here where we are, right here in Pickens County, everybody else in the upstate around here, as far as I know, now, is already digital of some kind. 800 digital of some kind. And it's a matter of time before it happens here. The only reason it hasn't happened here yet, they're working on that too now. They don't have 5G throughout the whole county. But when they get 5G throughout the whole county, and they come up with $4 million, they're not going to do it. But as I've heard them say out here, compared to just the repeaters they got on analog here, they're going to have to put up a whole lot more digital repeaters to make that even work over here.
Long ago went to 800 and 900 megahertz truck systems. Those aren't necessarily digital, but they did that to save channel space because, you know, each station is allocated channels out of a pool as they're needed, so we don't have services that are starved for channels while other services are, have to hang on to channels they're not using. They didn't go digital for that reason. I don't know why, except that, again, you know, we're multiplexing the signal now to carry data and voice, or maybe for privacy reasons. In some cases, we'll encrypt the signal because we don't want the, especially the police department, we don't want the potential bad guys taking countermeasures by using police scanners. I don't know what they want, what they're trying to do. It does sound to me, Andy, like they've, in a lot of cases, been sold a bill of goods. Oh, yeah, buy this new $4 million system. It'll be so much more better.
It's a mixture of things. As you say, they want privacy, and I can understand that to a point. Like over there where you are now, Greenville County. About 6 to 8 years ago, the county of Greenville was using analog over there with everything. And here about, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, I heard talk about it on news, and I actually heard it with my own receiver over here. 1 year, come back July, all the oil went off of it. They did. Went off analog and went over to current 800 digital. Well, then by the next time, the same year, the rest of the first responders in Greenwood County left it as well. And another ham that I know knows even more about it than I do. What was his called? N4 N4GSC, yeah, Patrick. He told me that they've now got that, all that encrypted, so some of it's due to the way you referenced in the past. Well, a lot of these places, as you said about the bill of goods, they went and done it, but sometime later they had to make changes again. So, in some cases, it's a combination of both.
Somebody had a conventional UHF, VHF. Yeah, they went. It's part of the Palmetto system, which I think is 800 megahertz P25 system, which isn't necessarily digital, but it likely is. And as I said, I think they did that to increase channel capacity even further. And yeah, maybe they did that for eavesdropping. But yeah, and also, as you suggest, maybe they were sold a bill of goods. Because I worked at Motorola briefly, and I know people who worked at Motorola, and that's kind of like a very Motorola thing to do. You know, sell the city of Evansville this real expensive system for a couple of $1 million so that a couple of years later you can sell them upgrades. You know, and here's the dirty little secret. In most cases, the upgrades were basically software and firmware, what I call soft engineering. You know, add a couple of lines to the program, and all of a sudden the radio has all these extra features. Same hardware, just different programming. You know, change the code plug and change the firmware to add additional features. That's a very Motorola thing to do. So the only difference between the basic model and the advanced model is, you know, we have the extra features. They're all, it's all software. But yeah, Motorola used to love to do things like that.
About it, like I said, over on RadioReference.com over time, too. Even at doing that, KI4LZI5D, if you're going to do all this digital stuff, I don't know why all, say, like everybody here in upstate that's going to do this, why they don't go on the same doggone digital system. Like they say, APCO 25 Greenville County, APCO 25 in Anderson. And I think Spartanburg's the same way. But you take over here in Oconee County, they're using DMR digital. And unless all these things, different digital systems can work together, you still ain't going to have any interoperability.
The Palmetto 800 system is supposed to be statewide. You know, systems of linked repeaters in different zones. I could be wrong about that. But, you know, hopefully as, you know, not everyone has the money of Greenville County. You know, so as Crapper County comes up with the money, eventually they'll abandon their conventional system and they'll get on the Palmetto 800 system. I think that's the eventually have the whole all state agencies everywhere all over the state. You know, it's just a question of who has the money to make the conversion right now. You know, Greenville County probably has more money than, you know, Pickens or Newberry or whoever county, Union County, whatever.
Boy, hell's there. Well, our IT guy over here in the county done told me it was going to be at least $4 million. At least.
Hey, that's what you, you know, that's what you pay. These radio systems represent a substantial investment for the municipalities. But they also, you know, they represent a fair amount of profit, too. Don't, you know, don't be fooled. But, you know, hopefully it's a system they stay with for a while before they got to migrate to something else. You know, Motorola, let's see, who else does linked radio systems? GE used to. There was a There's a couple of other systems. E.F. Johnson, there were a few others. There was like three or four, but yeah, Motorola, that was their core business for decades. That was their bread and butter. Because, you know, we sell these systems for $1 million, and over the next couple of years, they're into us for another few thousand, a few hundred thousand for various upgrades. Oh, you want this feature? That'll be another $1 million. So it becomes, you know, you would think, oh, a radio system. It's a fixed cost. We pay it once. We're done with it. And that's true until, oh, it's upgrade time. So, yeah, in a lot of cases, it's salesmanship. We have to always try to upsell the customer.
When it comes to DMR in Oconee County and all these others on APCO 25, I hope they have some way to be interoperable about it. Because if there's not, they're still going to lack interoperability if there's no way somehow to see that those two systems can be interoperable together. At least the way I understand this digital stuff, say like you on here on what we're on, VHF, UHF, amateur radio, we got all these different digital systems. Maybe one or two of them's interoperable, but is the rest of them interoperable? I don't know.
I think that's why the amateur radio community is slow to adapt. Let's see, there's the system you were mentioning, wires, or no, that's just maybe the system to connect to, let's see, amateur radio. You've got D-Star, you've got one or two others, you've got DMR, you know, there's at least three or four mutually incompatible systems that are being used by the amateur radio community. Which is why I hold on to my... And it's a question of seeing which one eventually wins. Which is why I hold on to my analog equipment. I don't think I don't have any digital radios. I should maybe try to get one. But again, which one? There's, which of the four or five incompatible systems is going to win out? You know, so where do you bet your money?
Well, see, Oh, I'll tell you, I put my trust more in the analog systems. But I do got a DMR system here. Someone give me an HT with it. HT's got DMR on it. And what will I know about this stuff on this? This is what will I do know about. And I know that we got a repeater over here on Glassy Mountain that's DMR. And the Hart system has one on Caesar's head. As far as any others goes, I'm sure there may be, but you might take one of the other systems, say D-Star or something or else, you might not even have one in the state. You know, it's, as you said, it's wise to hold on to this analog as long as possible.
I have a couple of DMR repeaters and a couple of D-Star repeaters. Oh, well, there goes that. And then there was, Yaesu had, I forget what theirs was called, NXDN or something. Yeah, there's still three or four of them, and they're all mutually incompatible. So D-Star, DMR, and the two or three others, you know, pick one. Unless, and again, you know, it's all a question of software, unless you come out with radios that support more than one of the above. DMR slash D-Star slash NXDN slash Moto Turbo, you know, and whatever other system. Multi-standard radios can come out, too.
LZI. Well, I can't tell you everything, because I don't know everything myself, but I just know about it here. But what it been, is it UHF, DMR? How much range, just like we were saying earlier about these two, and this is UHF DMR. How much range it's going to have, I don't know, but it's being counted on that the internet connection's being what's going to carry the bulk of it via the internet.
DMR, I think, is usually set up as two channels. There's actually two channels on one carrier. It's multiplex. One of them is usually one of them is set up as the local channel, and the other one is usually, by convention, is usually hooked up to the internet to give you a wide range system. You know, that's just by convention. I don't know what's really required. D-Star, who the hell knows? The other ones, I don't really know. But, yeah, I this is something I would probably like to explore. But if you have a DMR system, it's generally time slot one is all our local traffic, and time slot two gets dumped to this internet backbone and connects that way to other repeaters elsewhere. It's usually by convention the way they set that up.
LZI, that nut here on Glass Mountain outside of Pickens, as you say, it's Pickens local. For what we do right here, you might say here in the county, and others goes by internet. But at times there's been troubles with that, with internet connection, and when that goes down, all you're left with is just a Pickens local. And I'm not so sure about this on Caesar's head, but I think they got an internet issue with that and up there. You got the Greenville local up there on that and on Caesar's head, but I don't think there's any internet hooked to that one. They got a problem with it. And that's just the two that I can get into with this HT. I've heard there's one over around Clemson somewhere, but there may be others, but the DMR part's the only one I've even got a little bit of familiarity with since someone gave me this HT that's got it on it. And one of the others you was talking about earlier was System Fusion.
System called Fusion. There was a ICOM, I think, is D-Star, Yaesu, Kenwood, I don't know who Kenwood. But yeah, there's, as I said, eventually the marketplace may shake it out. Or, you know, we'll come up with multi-standard radios. D-Star / DMR / Fusion / NXDN, or Moto Turbo, or one of those. So, you know, if you could be persuaded to pay another $100 for a digital radio, which potentially works anywhere.
Bill's the guy. Certainly, like with the commercial end of it, with first responder end of it, you need interoperability. We're there for sure on all this digital stuff. And it would be better for us should someday we lose this analog for some reason or another. You're going to have all this digital stuff. It better work with all the digital stuff, or everybody's going to be hung out to dry on different systems, and nobody ain't going to communicate with nobody if the analog for some reason disappears.
FCC is forcing it. Except for the television broadcasters, I don't know that anyone is being forced to drop analog. In the case of television, you had to do it. You know, there's not the bandwidth to carry the analog and the digital signal. Let's see, FM broadcasting. If anyone out there is carrying that HDR and that HD signal, they're probably still going to carry the FM analog signal for the foreseeable future. Yeah, police, fire, EMS. Once they upgrade, I don't know if they'll have the ability to go back, and they probably won't want to. Ham radio, I think, is always going to have. You're always going to have your late adopters that, you know, don't need or don't want to, but, you know, to what degree the FCC is forcing people, I don't know. I think they're leaving it open for now.
For LCI, I'm just looking at judgments on other things that's been over the years and whatnot. Everybody wants narrower bandwidth because, as you said, some things take more than others. You look at how in the 60s, y'all was talking about earlier about AM, on, say, back in the 50s and a lot of the 60s until sideband got real popular. Everybody started going from AM eventually to sideband. Well, with this bandwidth issue, I hope it never happens, but someday the FCC might come down on everybody, including amateur service. Just like I was saying earlier about there's no more 2-meter repeater pairs available. You cut all this down to a digital signal, there'll be more, but like I said, there's going to be issues if those issues ain't worked out ahead of time.
You know, I think it's still pretty conservative for the simple reason that amateur radio people don't have the money. So they're not necessarily the latest quick adopters to the newest, latest thing. You know, as I said, they're not being forced to abandon analog, as far as I know. I don't see that happening anytime soon. They're not even being forced to go narrowband. You know, the 11 kilohertz channel spacing instead of 25 kilohertz or whatever it is, like commercial radio is being forced to do. So I think the amateur radio people are the last holdouts, and probably will be. Because they're, for one simple reason, we don't have the money. And, you know, the FCC is not going to force us because, you know, we're not that important. They graciously and grudgingly give us these airwaves to play with. So we're still secondary users, I imagine, on pretty much all the amateur bands. But, you know, we're not a priority.
Poor LZ, I hope it stays that way, but I just, way things are now, I don't know, you know. That's like with this digital stuff here on VHF, UHF. Before we ever run the risk of losing this analog, we better be sure this stuff works and it's interoperable throughout all the digital. Because if we wait and for some reason lose the analog, we're going to be sitting dead ducks, too.
Big two. Analog is always the lowest common denominator. I mean, even the digital, all these DMR and D-Star radios, I mean, they still have FM capability, right? So, you know, you'll always have the lowest common denominator available, and that's FM, which is, because as far as I know, I don't know of any that are exclusively digital. I should go shopping around for DMR radios one day. I may have to sell some other radio gear first. I got too many radios.
Poor hell's the guy. Well, as far as I know right now, they still, these idiots that's got DMR still have the analog FM on it, but at one time back in the 60s, you know, they was building, when solid state come out, they was building HF. Solid state, you had nothing but CW and single sideband on it. They didn't put AM on it. So, may be there now, but who knows about here somewhere down the line, though.
Let's see, here's an ICOM IC718, which is sitting here for decoration. Pretty sure this is an AM mode. I've got a Yaesu, whatever. You know, there's AM on that one. There may even be FM on 10 meters. Yeah, I gotta do something with these HF radios. Put up an HF antenna.
Well, see, I was reading through some of the QSTs I get. I know K4SUG had one of those Atlas transceivers. It had single sideband on it in CW, but no AM. And a lot of the later Collins didn't have AM on it. They mentioned something in there about the Swans, but it's been a while since I read that QST, and I don't remember, but seems like they had some of the last ones they built didn't have AM on them.
People receive AM. I mean, the ones that are general coverage, even if you don't have an AM position, you'll obviously still pick up an AM signal. In fact, that's an old shortwave listening trick for, if you got AM signal that's fading. Try to pick it up on sideband. I haven't seen a lot of HF radios that offer, you might be right, AM might be mostly gone. I forget if the SICOM radio even has AM or not. I know that Yaesu HF set that I have has AM. You know what? It's been so long since I've been on the air with HF, I really got to get the antenna, put up another antenna, and play around with HF.
Well, some of the newer radios of our time, let's say the past 15, 20 years, some of them have AM back on them, but they're real low power. You was talking about 718. It'll do 40 watts on AM. But you look at the late 60s, a lot of there in the 70s, you couldn't get finding HF radios there hardly ever that had sideband CW and AM on them. They had only single sideband and CW.
Ham's still really operating AM. Which is kind of too bad. It definitely sounds better. It doesn't have the efficiency of sideband. You know, you need more power to send the signal less far. But, you know, on the other hand, it sounds a lot better. Our silent key buddy, KI4MLN, he was the only one I know who still, he would still sometimes do AM. And, I'm trying to think of who else. He also had all that old equipment. And he was wanting to put together, I'm going to get a 4-kilowatt linear and go up on AM on 80 meters or something. So, you know, it's still out there. I guess it was dropped largely for reasons of efficiency, which is kind of strange because, you know, single sideband never sounded that great.
KI4LCI, well, I think two reasons. One of it's like I was saying earlier about the bandwidth issue. 6 kilohertz to, what, about 3 kilohertz, something like that, and the efficiency issue, too. Both of them combined, because the AM you needed, well, now these newer ones will do AM to a degree, like I was saying about 718, but it's only 40 watts. It ain't something like some of those big behemoths from the 50s that would do, say, 200 watts or something like that. You know, there's a big difference, as you said, about the efficiency and the amount of power they run. But the bandwidth played a part in that as well, though.
Yeah. If you've got 3 or 4 times the effective radiated power, or put another way, you've got a third the effective radiated power, yeah, sure, on AM you're not going to do more than 30 or 40 watts. Maybe not even that. But, yeah, you know, it's half the bandwidth. Let's see, I think you're getting either a 3 dB or 6 dB gain. let's see. About half the energy of the signal is in the carrier. So eliminating the carrier and eliminating the redundant sideband, I think, gives you a 60 dB gain. You get about four times the effective radiated power. Now, consider also on the receiving end, the narrower you can make the receiver, the higher the gain. So you get additional gain on that end as well. So you might end up in, you know, something more like 9 dB. It's a significant savings. It makes the equipment more complicated. And, yeah, the narrower bandwidth, you don't have the audio quality. But, yeah, you know, a couple of hams out there still doing AM. You know, and it's good. It sounds nice.
Well, the guy. Yeah, I act when it comes to phone on HF. I actually like the AM better, for sure. But as Wick says, like I said about over time, you might have three-fourths of the hams on sideband. Better than that one-fourth is still on AM, so that's just like I heard K4SUG say years ago back before the sideband net existed on 3915 here in the state. There was the AM phone net in the state that was on 3930. But obviously that had the problem been back in the 50s sometime. The phone, well, I've listened to them, no. The AM phone net don't exist today.
You could get away with, quite a bit more drives. They had more drive on AM. The old tube type equipment. They were better for that.
Well, now the AM phone net hadn't existed, I guess, since they started the sideband net, which, if I remember right, what was it, 1959, 57, somewhere in the late 50s, when the sideband net on 3915 started. And people kept drifting away from the AM phone net till the AM phone net was now no more.
Now it's sideband net. As I said, I've heard a few hams operating on AM. Usually on 40 meters, maybe on 20 or 80 meters. You know, it's not common. Of course, the one way you immediately tell is, oh, wow, your signal sounds good. It doesn't sound like you're talking from the bottom of a well. But I have heard them out there.
The way I was, all the stuff I've had over the years, and even with this 718, I got one here too. Three-fourths of what I'd been doing over the years, even before I had my license, when I could only listen, I would be listening to a lot of the AM activity on 3875, 3880, 3885, 7290, 7295, you know. A lot of activity on those frequencies at certain times of the day, especially after dark.
No more. Well, you know, commercial, government, marine, aviation, HF, you know, pretty much the same thing. When you need the signal strength, and you generally do, I'm sure those are pretty much all gone. Those have all gone sideband. Only aviation that I know of on AM is on VHF. Aviation HF is sideband. Marine HF is sideband. And, you know, government, military, whatever. So, yeah, I guess you're not hearing it out there anymore.
Well, see, you're right. Most of that, like that, usually, as I've heard, has been upper sideband generally. I don't remember who told me this. I heard somebody say that. We were talking a few hours ago about folks, he'll aim on VHF. Someone told me some years back that there's a AM net on 6 meters somewhere, but I don't have anything here to do even receive 6 meter AM, so I wouldn't know, but someone told me that at one time.
Broadcasting. You know, you want it for broadcasting because the transmitters and receivers are simpler, and it sounds better. But, you know, military, government, aviation, marine. See, when I was in the New York City area, I used to better be able to get a lot of those, was better, in a better position to get a lot of those signals. You know, aviation HF and marine HF, which is sometimes kind of interesting to listen to, although mostly it's just, you know, routine traffic. You know, altitude, fuel level, you know, course speed, direction reports, that sort of thing. You know, nothing really all that interesting. But sometimes it's interesting to listen to. And there was this one, I guess, marine ship-to-shore station that I used to call the Russian phone company because it was a duplex channel. But doesn't matter because it was almost always in Russian or Ukrainian or something. It was some ship-to-shore radio phone channel. Yeah, I think the New York City area was in a better position to pick up a lot of this HF traffic. Here, not so much. Here, I think we're in the skip zone or something. I don't hear any of that.
Well, B, I'm going to have to get out here shortly, but there was a ham that way back before our times, W2IXY. Let's see. You'd have to look her up now by Googling it, because that's a dead call sign today, but she resided somewhere up in the New York City area back in the 20s, 30s, and up until sometime the late 40s after amateur radio was reinstated. And she communicated by AM, as you say, at that time, and done a lot of phone patches for people back at that time from up in that area, because her occupation, she was working in somehow in the phone company up there back at that time.
For some reason, maybe that's where all the sky waves and ground wave converges in the New York, New Jersey area. You know, it seemed like there was a lot more to listen to. You know, the marine and aviation sideband, international shortwave broadcasting. I even heard a couple of times, at least one time I heard it was in Spanish. It was one of those number stations where you have somebody reciting groups of numbers, like, you know, five-digit numbers, and there would be a bunch of those, and then another group would start. Five-digit numbers in, like, 20 or 30 groups, if you've ever heard it. But no one ever really figured out what those were for. It was either clandestine communications for spies in the field, or some say it was a clandestine network for drug traffickers or whatever. If you don't know what I'm talking about, look up the phrase number station.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to get out of here, but get on Google and Google on that W2IXY. That ham, female ham that was up in that area back at that time. And read about her situation. It was in Radiocraft magazine in December 19... What was that? I don't have it right in front of me, but 1947, I think, where I learned about her. And she done all kinds of that right there in phone patching. Back at the time, from back up in that area, up in there, and She was sure enough one from way back. In all the vacuum tube days. I'm gonna have to go take some insulin, though. We'll talk later at some point in time. K2BNG, KI4LZI.
Katie, 2BNG, well, 73s, we'll talk to you later. I guess it's vodka time or something. It's 11 o'clock. Yeah, we both better get to bed, 73s.